How we certainly give all praise and glory to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's all because of him that we're in this place tonight. And we give all the credit, the glory, and the praise that is due to him. And it's all because of him that we have seen another day and that we are in this place tonight. We certainly thank God for your great and wonderful pastor. Will you help me praise God tonight for Pastor Rasko? Come on. Amen. I thank God for him, and I thank God for his hospitality and our friendship. Thank you so much, Pastor, for this invitation to come and to share. Certainly to all the ministers of the gospel who share with us, and to all of us, the members, and to all of you, it's just good to be here tonight. Can we give this choir a hand tonight? Amen. Second Kings chapter 4. Second Kings chapter 4. Second Kings chapter 4. And when you have found Second Kings chapter 4, ask that you will stand tonight. 2 Kings chapter 4. If you have it, let me hear you say, I got it. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse number 38. That's what it says. It says, and Elijah came again to Gilgal. And there was a dearth in the land. Translated, there was a famine in the land. And the sons of the prophet were sitting before him, and he said unto his servants, set on a great pot of stew for the sons of the prophet that they may eat. And one of them went out into a field to gather herbs, and he found a wild vine and gathered thereof wild gourds. Everybody say wild gourds. Wild gourds his lap full, and came and shred them into the pot of stew, for they knew them not. In other words, they really didn't know what they were. Verse 40 says, so they poured out for the men to eat. And it came to pass that as they were eating the stew, that one cried out and said, man of God, there's death in the pot. And they could not eat thereof. But he said, well, bring me some meal. And he cast it into the pot of stew. And they poured it out for the people that they may eat. And there was no more death or no more harm in the pot. Verse 39, and one of them went out into a field to gather herbs, but he found a wild vine and found wild gourds, got a lap full of them, brought it back, cut it up, put it in the stew, but he didn't know what they were. Poured it out for them to eat. Somebody tasted and said, there's death in the pot. Real briefly, I want to talk from this subject. I want to talk about leave it alone. Leave it alone. Ask all of you tonight, repeat after me, leave it alone. I want you to help your neighbor, if you don't mind. Just look at him. You ain't got to touch him. Just look at him and say, neighbor, leave it alone. Does not matter how smart, gifted, talented, educated you may be, there are some things you need to leave alone. Before you hang up on me tonight, remember, I came all the way from Atlanta just to remind somebody that there are some things you need to leave alone. Preacher, why would you say that tonight? That there are some things I need to leave alone. Because there are some things that don't need your advice, your opinion, and if I can just really be real, don't need your 2 cents added to it. I know I lost some people right there, but I promise by the end of this message, you're going to be thankful. Because there are some of you who walked in here contemplating on what to do, what should I do, what should I say on some things in your life, but there are some things you just might want to leave alone. Let me tell you why I say that, because there are times in life where your intentions can be innocent, but your actions can become dangerous. What do you mean by that? In other words, you don't mean any harm. You're trying to do good. You think that you're doing a great deed, a great thing. But I come to tell you, there's some things that if you get to messing with it, if you get to tampering with it, you do more harm than you do good. And if we can just be honest tonight, if we can just talk to be honest tonight, there are many of you right now that if you just be honest, you will look back over your life and you can testify that there are some things I should have left alone. Some things I would not be dealing with right now had I never said anything. Had I never got involved, I wouldn't be dealing with some things that I'm dealing with right now. Okay, let me break it down for you some more. Not only are there some things you need to leave alone, there are some people you should have left alone. Have I got a witness in here? Somebody can testify, had I never got friends with them, had I never went out with them, had I never got involved with them, then some things would not be the way it is. I just come to tell you tonight that there are some things and some people you need to leave alone. I hear what you're saying. You're looking at me saying, preacher, what does that have to do with the text? What does that have to do with what we just read? I'm glad you asked. Let me tell you, here it is. Because the Bible says, Pastor, here is Elijah, he returns to Gilgal. When he returns to Gilgal, he has with him the sons of the prophet. Now, the sons of the prophet were like students, young men he's getting ready to teach. He's getting ready to pour into. He's getting ready to inspire. But before he starts the lesson, he tells his servants, he say, look here, y'all put on a pot of stew for them to eat. Now, I want y'all to picture this tonight. Picture this now. Here it is. Now, the stew is cooking. And while the stew is cooking, one of those young men, one of those sons of the prophet, he leaves everybody else. And he decides to go out on a journey himself. And the Bible says he goes out into a field. And when he goes out into the field, he comes across a wild vine that got wild gourds. Everybody say wild gourds. Let me tell you why I won't say wild gourds, because understand what wild gourds were. Wild gourds were like cucumbers. Looked like cucumbers, but yet they were poisonous. But here is the problem. He didn't know what they were. And here it is, he takes these wild gourds thinking he's doing something good. Can't you hear him saying to himself, oh, they gonna love me for this right here. Oh, I'm going to spice the stew up. They're going to thank me for this. I'm finna make this stew right. And the Bible says he didn't know what they were, and he gets a lap full, and then he brings it back to the pot of stew, cut it up, and put it in there. And they begin to eat, and somebody say, wait a minute. Something ain't right with the stew. There's death in the pot. Hold on. Don't hang up on me. Can I really tell you something? Here it is. I want y'all to know that before he went out into the field, wasn't nothing wrong with the stew in the first place. Y'all not talking to me here. The stew was good all by itself. The stew did not need anything added to it. The stew did not need any spicing up. But because he wanted to do something, and because he saw something that looked good, he saw something that he thought was good, he brought it back and put it in the pot of stew that it caused death in the pot. Okay, I know you're still looking at me saying, what does that have to do with us? Here is the problem we have with the body of Christ. Here's the problem we got with the church today. There are a lot of people, Pastor, who are not satisfied with the stew. Preacher, what you call the stew? I'm talking about the Word of God. And we live in a time where people are not satisfied with God's Word. But can I tell you this? The stew, which is God's Word, is all good by itself. It don't need your adding to it. It don't need you trying to spice it up. But we live in a time where people are not satisfied with the Word the way it is, and we're trying to add some things to the stew. Can I preach for a little while? Here is the problem. This young man went out into a field. When he went out into a field, he got some wild gourds and tried to add it to the stew. Here is the problem. We got people in the church now who will leave the Word of God and will go out in the field. What's the field? The field is the world. We want to get the world ideas and the world philosophy and try to add it to God's Word. And all I'm trying to tell you, whenever you try to add the world to God's Word, you'll always have death in the pot. But I need about 50 people in here that's not ashamed to testify. I like the way the stew tastes. It's good all by itself. I need somebody in here that's not ashamed to testify. I love the Word of God the way it is. Oh, yeah. When you got people now trying to twist and turn scripture to fit their own selfish desires, you got death in the pot. Let me see, can I talk to you? Y'all not talking to me. Let me see, can I talk to you? See, here's the problem. This wasn't no time to be wasting food. This wasn't a time to be experimenting. Why you say that? Because remember now, the Bible says there's a dearth, there's a famine in the land. And when you study this, the famine was a sign of God's judgment. Can I preach to you? And God's judgment was, at this time, there were some people of God who wanted to worship God, but worship other gods too. And God is saying, I'm a jealous God. I would not share my glory with anything else or nobody else. So God had to allow a famine to come in the land. But here is the shout. Here is the shout right here. Even though there's a famine in the land, because there were people who were serving other gods, thank God for some people who were faithful to the true and living God. And let me tell you what God did, Pastor. For
for the people who were faithful to God while everybody else is starving, God still found a way to feed those who were faithful to him. Y'all missed a shout right there. While everybody else got a scarce of food, God still found a way to help those and bless those who were faithful to him. Let me try it one more time. While everybody else is starving, God still found a way to feed those and take care of those who were faithful to him. I need about 25 witnesses in here that know God will take care of his own. Oh yeah. Thank God for those who were faithful to him. God still found a way to provide for them. And can I tell you something? Now, there's a dearth in the land, but here it is. Everybody was affected by the famine. Everybody was affected. Those who were faithful and those who were not faithful. Which also lets me know that even the faithful ones still go through trials. Still go through tribulation. Still go through storms in their life. But here's what I want to tell you before I go any further. I realize even why God folks still go through. Because I know a lot of you may be saying, well, if I'm faithful to God, why does God still allow me to go through? Here it is. God still allow his people to go through simply because he is trying to show his people who he really is. Can I preach to you for a second? Because if the truth be known, none of us would know God the way that we know him had it not been for us going through some things. See, it's one thing for you to hear he's a way maker, but it's another thing for you to know he's a way maker. It's one thing to hear he's a healer, but it's another thing to know he's a healer. It's one thing to hear he's a deliverer, but it's another thing to know. I need about 25 people in here that can look back over your life and thank God for everything you went through. Because you know a side of God you never seen before. Hold it. Hold it. Hold it. Some folks still not happy. Let me see, can I try it like this? Not only do we go through so God can show us who he is, but we also go through because God want to see who we really are. I shout all by myself. What you mean God want to see who we are? Because here it is. Anybody can shout when you got money. Anybody can shout when you got a job. Anybody can shout when your health is good. But God wants to know, even in the midst of a storm, even in the midst of a trial, even in the midst of your trouble, can you still lift your hands? Can you still shout hallelujah? I believe it's somebody in here going through a storm right now, but I dare you to show God who you really are. I said, show God who you really are. Show God who you really are. Let me slow it down. Wasn't the time to be wasting food. It was a famine in the land, but God still found a way to take care of those who were faithful to him. Look at it. Put on a pot of stew. Stew is cooking. And while it's cooking, one of those young men says to himself, I'm going to spice this up. Goes out into a field. And while he's out there in the field, he comes across a wild vine with wild gourds and says to himself, this look good. And because it looked good, it probably tastes good. And it probably be good for the stew. And here is the problem. He takes what's out in the field, the wild gourd, and bring it to the pot of stew, which caused death in the pot. Can I tell you why a lot of people got death in the pot? It's because we live in a time where people are going out in the field, the world, getting the way the world do things and trying to add it to the word of God. And that's why there's death in the pot. Can I preach to you for a second? The word of God is what I call the stew. The stew is all good by itself, but people now trying to add this to it and add that to it. Don't you understand that the stew, the word of God, has an order and where the household should be ran? Can I preach to you? Don't you understand that the word of God has a way that the household should be ran, that parents ought to raise their own children? But now we got parents who don't want to go by God's word, and they now went out in a field and they got the world philosophy, and the world tell you before you discipline your children, you ought to sit down and reason with them and get their point of view and see how they feel. I come to tell you, and when you bring that back in your household, that's why you got death in the pot. See, when I was growing up, it wasn't no reasoning. Y'all not listening to me. It wasn't no point of view. I grew up in a household where my mama and daddy would look at me and say, if you don't hush your mouth, I'm going to knock you into the middle of. I see y'all got the same parents I had. And if you started crying, they would look at you and say, stop that crying before I give you something to. And my question is, how you gonna let an 8-year-old run your household? You talking about you don't want to invade their privacy? They got their own room and their own cell phone. Talking about you don't want to go through their cell phone. They don't have no privacy if they live in your house, run up your bills. That's death in the pot. Mothers don't want to be mothers no more. Mothers trying to be best friend with their children. You can't raise your daughter and club with her at the same time. That's death in the pot. Y'all not gonna get mad at me, are you? Matter of fact, you can't even wear what your teenage daughter wear. You too old for that type stuff. You need to sit down. That's death. In the pot. Single Christian women, the word of God, the stew, says wait on God to send you the right man. Are y'all gonna help me in here? But now we got sisters who now went and got a world way of doing things. Instead of waiting on God to send you the man, you got the nerve to go running up behind him. Listen, let me tell you something. Don't you know the word of God says that a man who finds a wife, if finds a wife, y'all missed that. A man who finds, that means if he got to find her, she must be hid. In other words, you don't have no business being up in no man's face every 5 seconds running behind him. That's death in the pot. I wish y'all talk back to me here. Wait on God to send you who you need. I think I told you once before, I tell you again. Quit going to get you a $100 hairdo, $75 outfit, $50 shoes, going to a $10 nightclub, sitting down on a $5 chair, having a 3 50-cent drink, talking to a 1-cent man. That's death in the pot. That's death. In the pot. Church folk want to spend time in the world and bring the world ideas in the church. That's why a lot of churches have death in the pot. Y'all not listening to me. And we measure church growth by the wrong thing. We think because everybody else is doing it and because it look like they're growing, we ought to be doing it too. Everything that you see with a big crowd don't mean it's growth, because you got to understand there's a difference between a growth and a swelling. Y'all missed what I just said. A swelling happened real fast. Growth takes its time. But wherever there's a swelling, there's an infection somewhere. You got people now in the church that want to take the way the world do things and apply it to this. Y'all haven't hung up on me, have you? People take the world ideas and want to bring it into the church. It don't mean it got to be like that. Can I talk to you? Just because a person is a school teacher in the school system don't mean they ought to be teaching a Bible class. Y'all not talking to me. Because somebody works at a bank don't mean they got to be working the finance team. How you going to count my tithes and offering and you still putting in nickels and dimes? There is death in the I see y'all look like you're mad at me. All I'm trying to tell you is that you can't add the world to God's word. You got to have a standard. And the problem is the church is trying to lower their standards when we ought to be raising up the standards for the world to meet our standards. Can I tell you something? You can't mix the world with God's word. Basically, you cannot shack up with the devil and expect Jesus to pay the rent. It don't work like that. I'm out. Y'all ain't got to deal with me no more. I see how you're looking. It's fine. It's cool. He says, this look good. I'm going to bring it back to the church. I mean, I'm going to bring it back to the pot. Can't you see him all happy? Thinking he doing good? Cut it up. Put it in the stew. There it is. And then they pour it out for the men to eat. And then somebody says, wait a minute. Man of God, something wrong. There's death in the pot. I thank God for this brother, whoever he was. And let me tell you why I thank God for him. Because he didn't do like some folk would have done. He didn't push his plate away and watch everybody else eat the stew. He spoke up and said something wrong with the stew. Because, you know, you got some people in your life that will sit at the table with you, smile in your face, and let you do harm to yourself. But is there anybody in here that can look back over your life and thank God for some people that told you the truth and let you know when there was death in the pot? I don't know about you. But I thank God for some people that let me know something wrong. There's death in the pot. That these wild guards causing a problem. I like this. He says, man of God, something wrong. Man of God, there's death in the pot. These wild guards causing a problem. Woo! I'm going to testify. I thank God for some people, not only in my life, but even in my church, that don't mind letting me know, Pastor, there's a wild gourd in the choir. Pastor, there's a wild gourd on the deacon board, on the usher's ministry. See, y'all getting real quiet in here. Lord, deliver me from people that will sit in the church and know who causing the problem, know who the wild goers are, and don't want to say anything. And then when everything break out, you got the nerve to say, well, I was going to say something, but I didn't want to start nothing. I just sat right. No, let me know where there's a wild goer. Turn to somebody next to you and say, please let me know. He says, man of God, something wrong. There's death in the pot. Now, here's the real shout. Evidently, this brother also must have known what stew should taste like. Which lets me know he done had some good stew and he done had some bad stew. So he automatically knew, something not right with this right here, because I've had some good stew and I've had some bad stew. He know what it should taste like. You know, just like when you was growing up, when you was little and your mama and your grandmama didn't want you to eat everybody cooking. You know how you go somewhere, you know, you go to somebody's house or be at church when they was cooking and you want to eat and they be, no, don't touch that. And you never can understand why you can only pick certain folks. Here it is. This is why they did that. Because they wanted you to get used to their cooking and they wanted you to know what done chicken should taste like. They wanted you to know what macaroni and cheese should look like and don't have milk floating all on top of it. Y'all hearing me here? So what they did, so when you got older, you know the difference between the good and the bad. What are you trying to say, preacher? Just like this man that says there's death in the pot, he done had some good stew and he done had some bad stew. You ought to praise God for your bad stew days. Because if the truth be known, all of us have had some bad stew. What's the bad stew? The bad stew are the experiences that we have had in our life. Let me see, can I get some witnesses? Because you done had some bad stew, you know a hustler when you see one now. You know a trickster when you see one now. You know a player when you see one now. And they can't get you no more because you done had some bad stew. I need about 5, 10, 15, 20 witnesses up in here that can just thank God for your bad stew days. Because guess what? What did not kill you? All it did was make you stronger and make you better and make you wise. I'm tired. I done preached my own stuff happy. Let me. So Elijah says, I gotta go. So Elijah says, okay, all right, he done messed this up. He done bought some wild goats in here. He says, bring me some meal. They brought the meal. He put the meal in there. Text says there was no more death, no more harm in the pot. Okay. There was death in the pot. Elijah says, bring me some meal. They brought the meal to him. He put the meal in there. There was no more death, no more harm in the pot. There was death in the pot. Elijah says, bring me some meal. They put the meal in there, and there was no more death in the pot. I searched, I researched. Pastor, the only thing I got out of that the Lord gave me. He says, well, some translations don't say meal, they say bring me some flour. So meal or flour, bring it to me and put it in the pot. Okay, I know you're saying, okay, I look the same way too. Here it is. If you know anything about meal or flour, it's a main ingredient for bread. And if you know anything about bread and the Bible, you will understand that Jesus is known as the bread of life. If that don't get you happy, I don't know what will. Because if we just be honest in here tonight, all of us have had some death in the pot. But can somebody testify that Jesus makes the difference? I need somebody that's not ashamed to give God glory and give God praise, and knowing that Jesus makes the difference. Do I got a witness in here? If you know that Jesus makes the difference, you ought to lean over to your neighbor and say, neighbor, Jesus. Jesus makes the difference in my life. Is there anybody here? I say, is there anybody here that ever had death in the pot? Let me ask you a question. Won't the Lord make a difference? I say, won't the Lord make a difference? Y'all ain't happy, but I need a few more witnesses that can look back over your life and realize you had death in the pot, but thank God Jesus came in your life. Let me ask you a question. Did he turn your life around? Did he make a difference in your life? Well, if he made a difference, you ought to act like he made a difference. You ought to wave your hand and testify. Can't nobody do me like Jesus. Can't nobody do me like the Lord. I'm out of here. But before I go, if you know he made the difference and you're not ashamed, before we get out of here, lean over, shake somebody's hand. I say hold their hand. Come on, hold somebody. Hold it real tight and say, neighbor, I don't know about you, but I got a right to praise the Lord. Say, neighbor, I got a reason to praise the Lord. I got five reasons why I praise him. Five reasons why I give him glory. Reason number one, he's been good to me. Reason number two, he's been good to me. Reason number three, he's been good to me. Reason number four, he's been good to me. Come on, help me on the last one. Number five, he's been good to me. Anybody here know he's been good? Anybody here know he's been good? If you know he's been good, wave your hand. Tell the Lord, thank you for saving me. Thank you for keeping me. Oh, oh, thank you, Lord, for being good to me. Thank you that one Friday you died, but you didn't stay dead. But early, I say early, I say early, Sunday morning, can I preach it like I feel it? See, a lot of people don't get excited no more when you talk about that he died. But if you're glad that he died for you, you ought to give him a praise. If you're glad that he died for you, you ought to give him glory. Have I got a witness in here? He died one Friday, and they tell me that when he died, sin and death had a conversation. Sin came to death, saying, death, can you hold Jesus? Death said, yes, I can hold Jesus. Saturday morning, sin came back, saying, death, do you still got Jesus? Death said, yes, I still got him. Now, I heard he's supposed to get up, but I still got him. Sin left Saturday night. Sin came back, saying, death, do you still got Jesus? Death said, get on out of here, sin. Everybody you brought to me, I still got him. I got Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I got Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, and Joel. I got Amos, Obadiah, and Jonah. I got Micah, Nahum, and Habakkuk. I got Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. And I know I can hold Jesus. That was Saturday night. But Sunday morning, I say Sunday morning, I say Sunday morning, I say Sunday morning, sin came back, saying, death, do you still got Jesus? I heard death say, well, when you left here, sin, Last night I had my hand on them, but all of a sudden something got to reeling and rocking, reeling and rocking, and I thought I had him, but he got up. Sin said, when he got up, did he say anything? He said one thing: I got all power in my hand. I need somebody here that can praise God right now. I say praise God right now. I say praise God right now. Tell them thank you. Tell them thank you. Tell them thank you. Tell them thank you. Getting out of here. Gotta go. Gotta go. Do me one more favor. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, for the last two nights, the preacher has asked us one question, and say, neighbor, I want to ask you the same question the preacher asked, and say, neighbor, if you don't know the answer, don't say anything, but if you know the answer, help me praise him. Come on, look at somebody and say, neighbor, come on, say, neighbor, can I ask you one question? Here it is. Won't he do it? 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 Yeah.